Disclaimer. In this podcast, it is mentioned that Tim Ballard is running for Senate, but he's only considering. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to Point of View, the Daily Utah Chronicle's opinion podcast. My name is Stevie, and I'll be your host. Today, we have Ningley Loken on to talk about their upcoming print piece, Hitting the Stands, October 23rd. Hi, Ningley, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me here.
So, what is your upcoming print piece about?
So, Tim Ballard is running for office. He just recently announced that he wants to replace Mitt Romney in the congressional race. And this upcoming print issue is about business and politics. So I thought it was the perfect opportunity to talk about how Tim Ballard, who is an anti-trafficking figure, who founded Operation Underground Railroad, and he is known amongst other anti-trafficking groups as an embellisher of his own stories.
So why did you choose to write about this topic, and why is it personally important to you?
The issue of anti-trafficking is really personal to me because I am adopted internationally, and there are some shifty things that surround transracial and international adoption, and Tim Ballard himself has taken in some of these kids to declare them as his own, the kids that he has reportedly rescued from trafficking. And so just wanting to shed light on the fact that he is not centering the needs of trafficking victims also probably points to the fact that he is not centering others' needs at all, but his own political motivations, which I see as problematic since, you know, I want to be sensitive to other people's experiences with adoption, but overall, it is a really traumatic experience, especially transracially, and reducing the amount of trauma doesn't seem to be Tim Ballard's priorities whenever he makes these big grand raids and involve local police and end up criminalizing people involved in sex work. And sex work, I say, in tandem with trafficking, but just as a blanket, Tim Ballard, believes that one of the solutions is to crack down on border patrol and to enhance regulations at the border, and that also does more harm to trafficking victims than it does good. And so to have him in a position of power making those types of decisions, voting to make border patrol more violent, I don't think is ideal, and people should know that his practices are more harmful than they are helpful to victims of trafficking.
Do you think that there's any part of his campaign where he's deceiving people? And what about it, like, rings alarm bells in your head for you?
The alarming part is that he's riding off of the fame that he's garnered from initiatives like Operation Underground Railroad. And even in the naming of that, he's riding off of the legacy of anti-racist and abolitionist figures like Harriet Tubman. That's pretty audacious. And and he's also in one of his books compared his adventures to those of like Abraham Lincoln, and so important anti-slavery figureheads, and you know Lincoln's importance as an anti-slavery figurehead is highly contested, but then at the same time he did. Make a change, I think that Tim Ballard is misleading people by equating himself to these people who have impacted the scene of slavery in the United States. And the person that I interviewed for this piece, Dr. Lindsay Jasinski here at the U, even mentioned that his narrative is ridden with white savior complex, just because you tell this story about going to you know, South America maybe, and rescuing children of color and women, but you don't have evidence to back up that you're actually helping these people. That's an important misleading part of like his rise to fame and his claim to fame.
Why do you think he became so popular as a candidate for Senate, especially in Utah?
He does hold sway on the conservative religious audience of the dominant religious group here, which is, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so he has repeatedly expressed that he's been called by God. This idea that, like, people have a calling, people have a religious duty is very appealing. And I think that it can easily lead to folks being hoodwinked about the supposed good nature of his efforts.
How do you think that this distrust that Tim Ballard is creating around organizations that are supposed to be helping victims is going to affect other organizations?
Ooh, that's a good question. I know that other anti-trafficking organizations condemn Tim Ballard because they don't like the image that he puts up for anti-trafficking. And I think that influencing the way that, making trafficking a militaristic, or painting it under a militaristic image is especially harmful for other organizations that want to center care. Mm-hmm. And when you want to center care, you're not focusing on busting people, you're not focusing on villainizing or criminalizing them. What you're focusing on is providing things like therapy, housing, food, for people who don't have those things otherwise and who may have turned to traffickers, either starting off willingly, possibly unwilling. Like, there's this misperception that trafficking victims are like snatched off the street all the time. But most of the case, that's not it. Most of the case, there is a level of, like, how much of a choice can you say that you have when you're in really desperate conditions? But there is a level of like consciousness that goes into the situation. And so people being aware of the contradictions that people, that trafficking victims live with is important for us to develop empathy. And I think that what he does is, elevates himself to the status of hero while also trampling on potential for creating empathy for these trafficking victims. I think that people can learn from him that politicians do and will lie. They will do it through their teeth, they'll do it with a smile on their face, and openly, even if there's evidence that points to something otherwise. So this lesson that we can learn is to be wary of politicians who want to glorify themselves and look into how other people receive them in their workplaces, in their industry that they're known for. These are vital parts of a politician's personal history and will indicate the integrity that they have going into their field. Even as they navigate moral difficulties, like, there's a difference between voting for something that you might not voting for something that you have trouble with and might not agree with, but need to do so in order to compromise, and you know, betraying the public by lying. Those can be seen as like two political misdoings, but one is egregiously more harmful than the other.
Why do you think this is important for students at the U to know and understand what's going on?
I know that as I entered college, so I started at BYU, and I was 18 years old and kind of like a little bit undereducated about politics and the power of the people's vote. So I didn't end up voting when I turned 18, and that's one of the regrets that I hold. Like, I know some people say, like, oh, I don't have any regrets, but I do think that if I would go back and do something differently, like, one of the things would be, it was, like, I would take every chance that I have to vote. And so just to give people insight into politics and be like, hey, you can actually make a difference as a student. You might be fresh out of high school, but like you are a full-fledged adult at this point in the eyes of the law, and you can take advantage of that and really own it and make it yours by educating yourself and by learning about what politicians at least about what they do on their non-political time, because knowing about politicians' names is different from being familiar with like the rapport that they have or the potential abuses that they've perpetrated. Those are I think those are really important to keep out of the office. And so the more people and students who know about it, the more that they can be empowered to take the political scene into their own hands and realize the power that they have as the people.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. What are some of your final thoughts about the piece?
Just that I really enjoyed interviewing the professor at the U. I really enjoyed interviewing Dr. Lindsay Jasinski because she brought up carceral feminism. She brought up like criminalization and issues that I was really looking to add to the article with real professional perspective. So just my effort has gone into this, but also my awe as well. It's been a real opportunity to be with the Chronicle and to learn from people as time goes on and as I find more people to talk to for the pieces. And so anybody who has a story to tell that is relevant to the lives of the oppressed, I'm always willing to listen, and that's kind of my goal in all of the pieces that I have with the Crony, just to speak and do it with bravery, you know, because not everybody gets a chance to represent themselves, and so to be able to be a conduit for that, to be able to amplify important stories and voices is important to me. So, yeah.
Speaking of your piece, when does this piece come out and where can students find it around campus?
So the business and politics issue comes out on October 23rd, and students can find it all over the campus in the newspaper stands and in pretty much all of the buildings. In the entrances, look for them at the entrances of buildings and desks. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on this episode, Nigli. I've really appreciated you taking your time to come on the podcast and talk about this topic. And make sure you guys go check out this piece and find it around campus. And thank you for listening to Point of View, the Daily Utah Chronicle opinion podcast. Make sure you stay tuned for new episodes coming each month.